So tonight, we are going to be looking at the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit functions in our life and how He helps us. The Holy Spirit of God is something most people do not focus on, or focus on very little. However, the Holy Spirit is extremely instrumental in our lives, our welfare, and our salvation. Tonight we will focus on the Holy Spirit and all the good He provides in our behalf. The Holy Spirit was right there in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It reads, "In the beginning," that's our beginning, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." God's Spirit was there, right in the beginning. The term Holy Spirit is only used a handful of times in the Old Testament. One famous time is when King David used it in Psalms 51. That's Psalms 51, and we'll be looking at verses 10 and 11. And David says, and starting in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me." David knew and understood greatly and appreciated the Holy Spirit working in his life. His attitude towards the Holy Spirit was exemplary, and we can learn from that attitude that he had. Another time when the term Holy Spirit is used is in Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah chapter 63. And we'll be looking at verses 8 through 14. Isaiah 63, 8 through 14. "For he said, surely they are my people, sons who will not deal falsely. So he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his mercy he redeemed them, and he lifted them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore he turned himself to become their enemy. He fought against them. Then his people remembered the days of old, of Moses. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit in the midst of them? Who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses? Who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name? Who led them through the depths? Like the horse in the wilderness, they did not stumble. As the cattle which go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make for thyself a glorious name." Sometimes people, like David, sometimes people didn't, like David, appreciate all that the Spirit did for them. The Holy Spirit was in the midst of the Old Testament people that came out of Egypt. The Spirit gave them rest, and the Spirit was involved in their welfare. But instead, they rebelled. We just did an overview of the book of Job, incredibly delivered by Brother Hamilton. Job had some amazing insights into God's Spirit. We can read in Job chapter 26, That's Job 26, and verses 13 and 14. Job says this, "By his breath the heavens are cleared," and that word breath can also be translated spirit. "By his breath the heavens are cleared. His hand has pierced the fleeing serpent. Behold, these are the fringes of his ways, and how faint a word we hear of him. But his mighty thunder, who can understand?" Who doesn't quake a little when a thunderbolt cracks through the air? Or who doesn't shudder a little when clouds rumble loudly? But these are just the fringes of his ways. But a faint word we hear spoken of him. The Spirit of God can bring great glory to individuals. One such person was the son of Jacob, who was taken to Egypt. In Genesis chapter 41, Genesis 41, and we'll be looking at verses 38 through 40. It says, "Then Pharaoh said to his servants, 'Can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit?' So Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Since God has informed you of all of this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and accordingly to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you.'" So Joseph was raised to a very high platitude because of the work of the Holy Spirit that was done through him. Who wouldn't like to be honored like that? We have all heard stories about someone lifting an automobile off someone who was pinned. Some superhuman strength manifested itself. Well, we have a recorded similar story. In Judges chapter 14, Judges chapter 14 and verses 5 and 6, we read about what happened to Samson. Starting in verse 5, it says, "Then Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother, and came as far as the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came roaring towards him. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that he tore him as one tears a kid, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or mother what he had done." God's Spirit can save our lives and keep us from calamities, as it did with Samson. And sometimes it will be very subtle. In Isaiah chapter 30, Isaiah chapter 30 and verses 20 and 21, it says, "Although the Lord has given you bread of privation and water of oppression, he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher, and your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Turn whenever you turn to the right or to the left." And that oftentimes happens to us. Sometimes we get going in the wrong direction, and somehow or some way, God's voice comes to us either through a preacher or through an admonition from somebody else. This is the way. Hopefully, we'll heed that advice. These are just a few of the things that happened to the people of old, but yet there was something else in the future. In Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. We'll be looking at verses 25 through 27. It says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all filthiness and from all idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. That was a very powerful prediction that was made. If we go to chapter 37 and read verses 1 through 5, it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said to me, prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. Well, what are these very dry bones? If we go to down a little further in Ezekiel chapter 37 and verses 11 through 14, it says, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord. Again, we see God's Spirit working for the good of man. Even though the Spirit of God is mentioned many times in the Old Testament, as we go to the New Testament, we will see a great proliferation of the work of the Holy Spirit and a huge increase in the use of his title. The Gospel of Luke starts with Zechariah performing his priestly duties, his priestly service. And in Luke chapter 1, in verses 11 and 12, it says, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear gripped him. Well, who is this angel that he saw? Look over at verse 19. Verse 19 says, and the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you the good news. If we go back to verses 13 through 15, it says, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. And you will have great, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And we know that John came forth and was the great forerunner of the coming prophet, Jesus, through the work of the Holy Spirit. Later, Gabriel appears to Mary. And still in chapter 1 and going down to verses 31 through 35, it says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit was involved in the incarnation. Thus Jesus grew and entered the world and grew to be a man and taught many things, like John chapter 14. So in John chapter 14, and we'll be looking at verses 16 and 17. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. Look at verse 26. It tells us who this helper is. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit is a teacher. If we go to John chapter 16 and verse 13, he continues to say, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. And so the Holy Spirit guided the apostles into all truth, and they wrote it down for us today. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, Jesus tells the apostles, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, even to the remotest part of the earth. And the Holy Spirit gave them the encouragement and the ability to preach the gospel in the whole world. And then the day came, and the Holy Spirit manifested himself for all to see and hear. In Acts chapter 2, in verses 2 through 4, it says, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. The day had come. Prophecies had been fulfilled. The Holy Spirit was one of the main attractions. And if we go to Acts 2:38, we'll see the Holy Spirit mentioned again. And after Peter had given his sermon and the people asked, what must we do? Peter said in verse 38, and Peter said to them, repent, and let each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Church of Christ had started. And in Acts chapter 9, and in verse 31, says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It continued to increase. The Holy Spirit was right there working with them the whole time. Sometime after that, Paul wrote to the Romans. And in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, Paul writes this. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. Not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so the Holy Spirit is even connected to the hope that we have and love in our hearts via the Holy Spirit. Do you know why we have hope? Let's look at Romans 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. It says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Again, the Holy Spirit is involved with our salvation. And the same thing is reiterated in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 5. It says, "For we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness." And the Spirit is helping us in this effort. The Holy Spirit has taken the church to a much higher level. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 13. So starting in verse 9, it says in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, "But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words." He has taken us to a higher level, way above the world. The Spirit of God gives to men the ability to edify the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 8, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit." The Holy Spirit is involved in our growth. The Spirit of God warns the church. It warns Christians. In the book of Revelation, book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, this warning is issued. It says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Another warning is in verse 11. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." And in chapter 2, verse 29, he says, "He who has an ear, Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Spirit of warning. Pay attention. He's sending a warning. Paying attention would affect your eternal destiny. There are two kinds of people. Those who heed the warnings of the Holy Spirit and those who resist. We have an example in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, in verses 46 through 53, it says this, "And David found favor in God's sight and asked that he might find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. However, the Most High does not dwell in houses made by human hands, as the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne, and earth is a footstool of my feet. What kind of house will you build for me?' says the Lord. Or what place is there for my repose? Was it not my hand which made all these things? You men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did. Which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who had previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You who received the law as ordained by angels and yet did not keep it." These were people who resisted the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, we're given a final admonition, which is going to be the final admonition of this talk. In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, in verses 30 through 32, it says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." The Holy Spirit has worked very hard from the very beginning to bring us to our final place, which is eternal life with God. If you're here tonight and you've never been immersed in the water for the forgiveness of your sins and entrance into the kingdom of God, please come forward at this time. Or if you're here tonight and your walk with God isn't what it should be, and you would like the prayers of the church, please come forward as we stand and sing this song.